This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is Imam Zaid Shakir discussing the secrets of the fast based on Imam Ghazali's إحياء علوم الدين رحمه الله. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on our great scholar, our intellectual, spiritual and legal leader, as he excelled in all of those areas of endeavor. Alhamdulillah, during the first part, we talked about the importance of patience. We talked about the importance and the significance and implications of the fasting being related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sawmu li, illa siyama fa innahu li, fasting is mine. We talked about the implications of that. We talked about the fasting of the ordinary folk, Sawmul Umum, and basically just refraining from those things which would legally break the fast. This episode, we wish to talk about the fasting of those who are striving to elevate themselves spiritually, those who realize that there's more to our religion than just undertaking the basics to fulfill our legal obligation in that regard. That's very important. And as we mentioned in the first episode of this series, that's the foundation. That's absolutely essential. So adhering to the legal requisites of any action and undertaking them with enthusiasm and vigor, that's the foundation. And without that foundation, subsequent growth spiritually, subsequent maturation, spiritual maturation, it has no foundation, so it will not happen. So we don't want to be mean or belittle the legal obligations in any way, shape, or form. But as we grow and as we mature and as we develop as Muslims, we begin to aspire for something higher. We aspire for something higher. And that aspiration embodies what Imam Ghazali is talking about when he talks about the fast of those who are striving to elevate themselves spiritually, to distinguish themselves in that regard, and hence khusus. So those who are distinguished, sawmul khusus. That fasting, my dear brothers and sisters, is to refrain the tongue, the eyes, the ears, and all of the limbs from those things which involve sin. To refrain all of our limbs, all of our appendages from sinful behavior. Because legally, if we tell a lie, legally our fast is accepted. But if we're striving to distinguish ourselves spiritually, we would consider that sin to be something that would break our fast, that would violate the fast, not legally, but spiritually. So my dear brothers and sisters, we want to focus on this aspect of fasting. First with the tongue. The tongue is the greatest source of sin. If we look at the ruinations, the afat, that are in another section of Imam Ghazali's Ihya, the largest section involves the ruinations of the tongue. And those ruinations are 20 in number. He enumerates 20 of them. Amongst them, lying. As we go through our day of fasting, my dear brothers and sisters, we should refrain from telling a lie. Even the normal little white lies that we might tell to maintain domestic harmony or for whatever reason, even those, we should refrain from those, my dear brothers and sisters, because we're trying to take advantage of a very special time to do something very special and beneficial for our souls. So lying is something that we should refrain from during Ramadan. Backbiting, carrying tales between people, exaggerated speech, extra flowery speech, all of these things we should refrain from in Ramadan. As we mentioned in the last episode, and getting back to the basics, one of the very basic foundational aspects of our spiritual growth is silence, is sumpt. So refraining ourselves from speech. And Ramadan is really training us in this regard to attain one of the aspects of our religion that's often not discussed, and that is there's a ruling for speech. So there's a ruling for speech. There's a ruling for everything we do at some level. The ruling for speech is silence. In other words, as al-aslu fil kalam as-samt. So the foundational principle of speech is samt. وَلَا نَخْرُجُ عَنْ هَذَا الْأَصْلِ إِلَّا لِمَصْلَحَةٍ. And we only go away from this foundation, this origin of speech, for some interest or benefit. So if our speech is beneficial, we speak. If it's idle chatter, what's called tharthara, just idly chatting and chit-chatting, we refrain from it. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us in this regard, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Almighty God and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, let him or her speak well or remain silent. And so either we speak well, we speak when there's a maslaha, we speak when there's a benefit to be advanced, or we remain silent. So Ramadan is encouraging us to remain silent. And that encouragement comes, one, from understanding that our focus is the remembrance of Allah in the Quran. And so our tongue should be preoccupied with the remembrance of Allah and the Quran during Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan during which the Quran has been revealed. And so our spare time, as opposed to idly gossiping, as opposed to idly chit-chatting, as opposed to involving ourselves in these chat rooms online, jumping from one to the other to give our 2 cents or our 2 dirhams or our 2 rupees, we should be involving ourselves with the dhikr of Allah. We should be remembrance of Almighty God. We should be involving ourselves with the Quran. This is the month of the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters. And the Quran, fasting is a shield. As-sawmu junnah. Fasting is a shield that wards off from us sin and indecency. Reciting the Quran and remembering Allah abundantly during Ramadan is a shield for our tongue, which guards our tongue against lewdness and indecency. If we're reciting the Quran, we can't lie. If we're reciting the Quran, we cannot insult. If we're reciting the Quran, we can't argue and dispute. If we're reciting the Quran, we cannot be engaged in backbiting. If we're reciting the Quran, we can't be engaged in excessive speech. If we're reciting the Quran, we can't be involved in any of the ruinations of the tongue. And so just as fasting overall is a shield or protection, the Quran and the remembrance of Allah, more specifically during Ramadan, is a shield and a source of protection for our tongue. And in protecting our tongue, we protect our souls and we protect our hearts. And this is an aspect of Ramadan that we should be very, very extremely mindful of. Imam Ibrahim al-Nakhai, the great early scholar. He mentioned halaka man halaka qablukum bi thalathi khisal, fudul al kalam, fudul al ta'am, wa fudul al manam. The people who were ruined before you were ruined because of three characteristics: excessive talking, excessive eating, and excessive sleeping. Ramadan cuts down on all three, and all three are involved. Imam al-Ghazali discusses all three in the Salm al-Khusus, and the fasting of those who are striving to elevate themselves spiritually. He focuses on the tongue, and we mentioned some aspects of that discussion, but he also focuses on excessive eating during the times when we break our fast. We should not break our fast with lavish banquets. We should not break our fast with an effort to compensate for all the food we miss during the day. We should have moderate, simple meals. Why? Because the number one, someone has to prepare those lavish banquets. In a lot of instances, it's our wives. Even if our wives themselves might be working because of various circumstances, they're expected to come home and now cook these meals, or if they're home all day, to prepare these lavish iftars for us and our buddies. And they're not reading the Quran as a result. They're not engaging in the dhikr of Allah as a result. They're not contemplating and reflecting during this time that's conducive to deep contemplation and reflection, because they're cooking and preparing these lavish meals. We should keep it simple for our sake and for the sake of those who might be preparing all of these meals for us. Also for the sake of spiritual elevation. We mentioned in this section the fast of those who are endeavoring to elevate themselves spiritually. The lessening of our intake of food during the nighttime, this frees us up for Taraweeh. It's difficult to pray with energy and vigor when our stomachs are about to explode. It's difficult to focus on the Quran being recited by the Imam during Taraweeh when our stomachs are on the verge of explosion. It also frees us up from running back and forth to relieve ourselves. Our lessened intake of food means that there's a lessened passing of waste. And so that frees us up. And that gives us more time for the Quran. That gives us more time for standing in prayer. It also gives us more energy and vigor. So we should try to lessen our intake of food. We should try to adhere to the prophetic sunnah in that regard. Focusing, just some dates, some water, something simple, some simple food, and then we resume our worship. Because the fast of Ramadan involves two fundamental realities: the reality of fasting during the daytime and the reality of standing in prayer and worshiping Allah Ta'ala during the nights. This is embodied by two hadiths which have just one word of difference between them. His saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet saying, peace and blessings of Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, man sama ramadana imanan wahtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. One who stands for prayer, one who fasts during the day of Ramadan, their prior sins have been forgiven. And most scholars say this involves their lesser sins. One word of difference: man qama ramadan imanan wahtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. And whoever stands for worship during the nights of Ramadan with sincere faith, anticipating a reward, their prior sins have been forgiven. These twin duties are the duties of Ramadan. During the summer months here in the northern hemisphere, the duty of fasting is more arduous because the days are long and they're hot, and in many instances humid. And so fasting is very arduous. During the winter months, and we're still in the winter months and just coming out of the winter months, so we're gonna have fairly long nights, then the qiyam is the duty that's more arduous because the nights are long and there's a lot of time for worship. But there's also time to take ample rest. And we're challenged in the summer, the fasting in the summer, in ways in this regard that we're not challenged in the winter months. We're reminded by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ashita'u rabi'ul mu'min," that the winter is the springtime of the believer. "Tala yomuhu fasama," his days are long. "Qasura naharuhu fasama," his days are short, and so it's easy to fast them. During these early spring days of this Ramadan here in the north, in North America, it's going to be very easy to fast. The days will still be relatively short and they'll be relatively cool. If not, many of them will be outright cold. We know the fickleness of our weather these days. وَطَالَ لَيْلُهُ فَقَامَ, and the nights are long, so they spend those nights worshiping Allah. مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ. And so we have an opportunity to do that, and we should take advantage of that opportunity. The eyes, unfortunately, our eyes are exposed to all sorts of things that involve sin that formerly people weren't exposed to. That's because early generations, they had television. And generations before that, they had no television. So we're talking the 1930s. Where television wasn't widespread. People listened to the radio. They listened to FDR. "We have nothing to fear but fear itself" on the radio. They didn't have television, so their eyes weren't challenged with anything other than what they might have encountered in their daily lives and back and forth. Television exponentially expanded what their eyes might be challenged with. And now the internet exponentially expands what television might have exposed our eyes to. So we have to lower our gaze. And this is an aspect of the fast of the khusus that Imam Ghazali focuses on, lowering the gaze from those things that involve sin. So we shouldn't be looking at those things on the internet. Shut it down. Unless it's work-related, and work-related, just focusing on whatever website is relevant for our work. Shutting it down. We mentioned shutting down and our participation in the chat rooms. Pick up the Quran, because how easy is it to slip into backbiting when your fingers are doing the talking. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned at least al-qalamu ahadu lisanaini, that the pen is one of two tongues. So there's the tongue of our mouth, our physical, actual tongue that we might sin with. And then there's the pen, which is another type of tongue, and by extension, the keyboard. And how much sin do we engage with via the keyboard? These chat rooms and jump piling on when someone slanders a person. We don't even know. We don't even know. We don't know if what they're saying is true or false. But they say it with enough pizzazz that it captures our interest, and we reflexively pile on and we share and we pass on and we comment. Shut it down, brothers and sisters. Turn off the television. What is the benefit of watching television? Oh, I'm watching the Taraweeh in Haramain. As if you're at the movies, you're eating popcorn, listening to Imam Sudais. نَحْنُ الْآنْ فِي رَقَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ وَالْإِمَامُ يَقْرَأْ مِنْ سُورَةِ مَرْيَمُ مَا أَجْمَلَ تِلَاوَتَهِ. And we're chopping on food. Where's the ajr for us? Pick your own Quran up. Go to your own masjid. Pray behind your imam. Pick your Quran up. Ramadan is not entertainment. It's an opportunity for spiritual elevation. And what we do, as Imam Ghazali advises us, when we refrain and protect and guard our limbs, our vision, our hearing. Don't listen to the filth you might normally listen to. Listen to misogynistic lyrics, lyrics promoting fornication, lyrics mentioning the consumption of alcohol, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Turn that off, my brothers and sisters. Let your ears listen to the Quran. Let your eyes look at the script of the Mus'haf. Let your tongue be involved in the remembrance of God. As one of our early Muslims mentioned, tasbihatun wahidatun fi Ramadan kamithka alfi tasbihatin fi ma siwa, saying subhanallah one time in Ramadan is like saying subhanallah 1,000 times at any other time. So subhanallah, let that be what your tongue is preoccupied with. Alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Let this fill your tongue. Kalimatani, khafifatani ala lisan, thaqilatani fil mizan, habibatani ila rahman, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. There are two expressions. They're very light on the tongue. They're very heavy in the scale in terms of their reward. They're very beloved to the most merciful. Glorified art thou, O Allah, subhanallah, wa bihamdihi, and with your praises, subhanallah al-azim, glorified art thou, Allah, the most mighty. Let that be on your tongue. Let the Quran be on your tongue. When the reward of, don't say alif lam meem is a single letter. Alif lam meem is a single letter. Alif is an individual letter. Lam is an individual letter. Mim is an individual letter. وَالْحَسَنَاتُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. And each letter you recite in the Quran will be multiplied 10 times over. It's a voluntary act, but the voluntary act in Ramadan will have the reward of an obligatory act. It will be 70 times. And as we mentioned earlier, it could be 700 times for every single letter. So think of you reciting one juz, 1/30th of the Quran every day. How many letters will you recite? Think if you're reviewing what you've memorized during Ramadan over and over and over to reinforce your memory. How many letters will you recite? How much reward will you gather for yourself? How much reward in blocking the haram from your ears and keeping your heart receptive? How much reward? So we have an amazing opportunity, and we should all fast. The fast of the umum, Sawm al-Umum, by refraining from anything that will legally break our fast. We should all fast the Sawm al-Khusus, the fast of those who are trying to elevate themselves spiritually. And the next final episode, inshallah, we'll talk about something Imam Ghazali mentions, Sawm al-Khusus al-Khusus, the fast of the spiritually elect, those who have gone through that process of growth and now they're in a stage of spiritual maturation. That's what we're going to talk about next time. This is Imam Zaid Shaki on behalf of Zaytuna College. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.